We'll stay with sport, the Paris Olympics. It lifted the spirits of the country, but it comes to a close today. The 133 men and women who competed in France for Team Ireland will take their places with pride as Ireland celebrates its most successful ever Olympic Games. But as the curtain comes down on the Paris Games, how do we build on the successes? And will we need more funding for our athletes to compete at the top level in the next Games in LA in 4 years' time? In a moment, we'll speak with Sarah Keane, the president of the Olympic Federation of Ireland. But first, let's look back on a glorious 16 days in Paris.
Victorieuse au point par décision partagée, remporte la médaille d'or, devenant championne olympique. In blue.
She's done it again! Kelly Harrington, two-time gold medalist, two-time Olympic hero in the words of our late colleague Jimmy McGee, the champion, the champion, the champion.
I get emotional again just listening to that.
The Mona McSherry from Grange and Sligo, Maryland Swimming Club at Tennessee University. The hat's off to you, girl.
Fionnuala is the first Irish woman to compete in five Olympic Games.
I feel like I never gave up, but it wasn't what I was hoping for.
I've won everything so far. I've won double world champ, European champ, and now the Olympics. And now I can say that I'm probably one of the best ever.
Brilliant bronze for Ireland, for Darragh Lynch and Philip Doyle. Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy together in the Olympic dream.
Very happy to have proved the doubters wrong. So it's a good day for the Irish.
Find a dream that you love, chase it and enjoy that journey. Because I can tell you, if I fell on my bum today, I still would have loved this journey every second of it.
The winner of the gold medal, Rhys McLennigan, with just an absolutely wonderful 15.533.
Oh, we did it! We keep being like, oh my God, we're in the final. Oh, it's an amazing feeling. We said we were going to do it. We did it. I'm so proud of us. It's amazing.
Charlene Mawsey doing what she does, bringing Ireland into the final of the 4x400 metres. We're keeping good company in relay these days. Think about it. Jamaica, the Netherlands and Ireland.
Understanding how much the nation is proud of us and how much they back us, it means so much because it just shows us the achievements that we've just achieved.
Let me just say it once again. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Good night, Irene.
Good night, Irene. Some of the voices and sounds from Paris over the past 2.5 weeks. We're joined now by Sarah Keane, president of the Olympic Federation of Ireland, who's in Paris, I think at the men's water polo final at the moment. Sarah, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Justin. Yes, I'm tucked away in a corner here.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for speaking with us from that event. We heard it there, Team Ireland really lifting the spirits of the nation, our most successful Olympic Games ever. You must be pleased as president of the Federation.
I'm pleased, I think, for a couple of reasons. I think one is we did talk about this being the best prepared and ranked Irish team ever before we left for Paris. There was a unity in the system that I don't believe has been there before. And I think when you're going to try and compete at the biggest event in the world, you know, we as a small nation need to be united in order to give our athletes the best chance. I'm pleased because so many of these absolutely marvelous young men and women have attained their dreams. And, you know, for those who maybe haven't quite got there, the margins of error are very small in an event like the Olympic Games. They've certainly all made us so proud. And I think the third big thing for me is the families and the communities and the level of support here. I mean, that was a big thing that was missing for those who were in Tokyo or in previous Olympic Games. And oh my God, the Irish fans, the families, the communities have completely and utterly embraced this Games. I mean, every corner you go, you see someone from Ireland. It's amazing.
And the success, 4 gold and 3 bronze medals, it doesn't come by accident. It's our most successful Olympics ever. But what was it that made the difference? What made these Games our most successful ever?
Again, I think there's a couple of things. The system has become a lot more mature. There has been more sustained, consistent investment for quite some time. I think our national governing bodies, within which the athletes effectively are housed with their clubs and the governing bodies and the systems there, have also become more sophisticated and mature. I think our athletes have been exposed to a lot more international competition, which does cost. And that means, therefore, that when they get to an event like the Olympic Games, I think they've been better able to manage it. They're more mature in themselves. And I also think I think we've got to give credit to our young generation of Irish men and women, because I just think there's a difference in how they believe in themselves. They're humble, but they're not the old modest, you know, we're happy being the underdogs Ireland that I think we've known for a long time. These people are young men and women are going out to say what they want to achieve. And I think they understand that if it doesn't work out and if they fail, people are not disappointed in them. They're disappointed for them. And I think that going out there to really go after it, knowing that they've already performed at European and world level, because a lot of them are European and world champions or have medals under their belt, which maybe a lot of the public haven't realised. That's been an important part of this success.
How do we now build on that success? Where does the investment need to go now?
I think there's a few things we need to focus on. First of all, the national sports policy, 2018 to 2027, talks about trebling high performance funding across its life, its 9 years, and doubling other funding, you know, capital and current. And I think we need to keep the government accountable to that continued investment. And to be fair, so far they have been accountable to that and have delivered. I think that's really, really crucial. And we need then to follow on with a new sports policy after that. But the other side of this is, you know, there are some sports that possibly have underperformed here in Paris, and we need to look at that and we need to consider that, but we need to do it in a safe environment with a view then to maybe picking some of those sports up to go on. I think maybe something people won't be thinking about is that maybe other countries now are going to want to poach some of our talent. And when I say our talent, I don't mean our athletes, I mean our coaches, our support teams, you know, the team behind the team. So we need to look after that.
Okay, and I just want to pick through some of what you said there. I mean, do we need additional resources then to retain the coaching talent we have and to attract other top coaching talent? I mean, for example, we had one coach, John Coughlin, who coached, I think, two of the medal winners in the 100 metres hurdles, saying that he couldn't make a living from coaching in Ireland. Are we at risk of letting talent like that go due to lack of resources here?
I think we were in the past, and I think we're slowly addressing that. So the new high performance strategy, which is backed by it's the Sport Ireland strategy, and we've a great relationship with Sport Ireland and we back them, and so the government have backed this strategy that has a specific emphasis on coaching that goes all the way to 2032. It's a 10-year strategy, but it's only a couple of years in. And that does seek to address that. So that's why it's so important that we actually do deliver on these strategies. I mean, our coaches need to be professional in many cases at this level. You know, our pathway coaches, even also for our junior athletes, need to be able to work professionally. This is a professional environment. And that doesn't just mean pay. It also means maybe permanent contracts as opposed to temporary contracts. It means so that they can get themselves, a mortgage and a home. It means pensions. And I think in the past, the staffing element of the Irish system, because obviously we're completely dependent on our volunteers who are amazing. But in order as well to deliver, we need volunteers and staff to work together. And I think we just have to, you know, if we want the top level of talent, we do have to pay for it, and we have to pay for it on a wider level.
Yes. And that's a point that was made by Kieran Mulvey, the former chairperson of Sport Ireland, who said that what's needed is multi-annual funding, a guarantee to the athletes that they would be funded for the 4 years of the Olympic cycle rather than on a year by year basis. Is that something that needs to be done or happen now?
Well, actually, on the high performance funding side, that changed in the last cycle. So that is happening. It's not absolutely guaranteed, but generally that you are now agreeing for this Paris cycle. Sport Ireland agreed with the national governing bodies and ourselves sort of a 3-year plan into it. And there was, as I said, not a full guarantee that the funding was there, but you generally had a sense of what the funding would be for those 3 years. So we expect that for the next 4 years, what we're looking for. And again, I think it's in the next sports action plan, is the multi-year funding also for community and participation side of the sport, because that allows for greater governance, better financial planning. So I think the system is moving that direction, but it has been there for high performance for the last cycle. which is imperative in order to have good financial governance. Because when you're going away to international competition, which is a really important part of preparation, you book things and pay for things, you know, probably the year before the competition or months in advance to get the right hotel or the right venue, you know, near, you know, where the training camp or all of those kind of things. So you do need that security of funding. So I think that, again, the system has moved, is moving in the right direction around that.
You mentioned that there will be reviews and there will be lessons to be learned from Paris as well. A lot of the high performance funding was invested into boxing, which yielded that one gold medal for Kelly Harrington, which, well, it delighted the country. It is a performance, you know, the performance of the boxing team as a whole that perhaps didn't meet expectations, didn't meet targets. Will that performance be reviewed? Is that something that you were disappointed by?
No, I wasn't disappointed by it, because I think that we've been depending on certain sports like rowing and boxing to deliver medals for Ireland for years. And sometimes people don't have the games that they would wish for. And that is part of sport. And there's your, you know, we had a lot of 50-50 split decisions in terms of our boxing results. And we have a great high performance group there, led by Tricia and Zori and others, coaches in the system. So I think, of course, there will be a review. But I also think that's part of this, is that we don't always depend on the same sports, because sometimes there will be things that just don't go our way. And that's what's been a part of the system, is developing a wider breadth and depth of sports to deliver. And we've had a lot of firsts in that. Like, we've had the first time the rugby women are here. We've had the first time that we had Olympic finalist in our Olympic gold medals in gymnastics, first time male in swimming, first time double in Paul and Fintan and Kelly. Then we've also had, you know, the first time sprint Olympic finalist and fourth place for Rashida. So we've had a lot of firsts, and you do want to continue those. I mean, we can't invest in every single sport to the same level realistically, but we do need, you know, what they talk about is, if you want to get 5 to 7 medals, you have to have a minimum of 12 to 14 opportunities.
Two of our gold medalists came from Northern Ireland, where they would have had the opportunity to compete for Team GB if they had wanted to. Is the strategy of providing opportunities for athletes from the whole Ireland, the whole island of Ireland, something that will continue?
Yes, I mean, a lot of our governing bodies are 32 counties. Swimming would be, athletics, gymnastics, others are 32 county sports. So a lot of the athletes are just automatically part of the system and part of the teams, and are very proud to be so. So, you know, for those who want to be part of that system, we absolutely intend to continue that. I mean, we're very lucky that as a nation, we are, you know, very serious about sport. But I suppose we still have to understand the difference between amateur and professional sport and provide the relevant structures around that. And we do need to look at the talent we have. I mean, we've had 7 medals, our most successful ever games. There probably is a question at some point as to, well, you know, we won't necessarily keep going up to 8, 10, 14, 20, you know, like where is really where we expect to be, and what level of size team, and how does that work, taking into account our nation? And also, obviously, we have a lot of talented athletes who might go to GAA or other sports. So, you know, what we really want, apart from the performance athletes, is the wide pathway at the lower levels, so that we have the opportunity then for the talent to come through.
We had 3 medals in the pool this time round. A fantastic achievement. You're the chief executive of Swim Ireland also. You also know that there are hundreds of children right around the country that are waiting for swimming lessons. They're signed up to waiting lists because they can't get access to swimming lessons. Does it frustrate you that we're celebrating a gold and 2 bronze in swimming, and yet we have that situation where hundreds of children can't even get to learn to swim?
I think it's a difficult situation, and COVID really was a real challenge around that, because 500,000 kids missed their swimming lessons during that time. And then what happens then is, when they get back in the pool at maybe 7 or 8 years of age, they're where they would have been at 5 or 6 years of age. And that means the 5 or 6 years of age kids can't get in, because these kids then have to go through to progress through the different parts of the lanes in the pool and all of that sort of stuff. So there is a catch up going on. But In this national sports policy, it refers to a national swimming strategy. We've been working with the government and the Department of Sport and Sport Ireland for the last 2 years on this, and it is going to launch shortly. And it does look at infrastructure. I mean, there is a gap in infrastructure in terms of swimming pools in the country. There's gaps in other infrastructure, even though we've made a lot of progress. So I suppose that's why I go back to this point that you know, this has been a hugely successful Games, and we, like, I just can't talk highly enough about our athletes, about the people, the team behind the team, the families, etc. But it is a particular stage in the system that is has had a lot of investment. Sport Ireland have also believed, and, you know, been very supportive behind the scenes of the governing bodies doing the right things and the clubs doing the right things. But we, you know, we still have to keep going, or, you know, or we will go backwards. Because sport, high performance sport, moves forward at a pace.
You will depart your own role as chairperson of the Olympic Federation of Ireland at the end of this year. You have played your own part. You've had your success at the Olympic Federation. You have a history of going into organisations and turning them around. You've done it at Swim Ireland. You've contributed to the success that we're talking about today at the Olympic Federation after the governance issues which arose after Rio. Your own name has been linked to the vacant post at the FAI. Is it something you're interested in?
At the moment, my focus is obviously clearly here, but I believe in Irish football, and I'd like to see it being successful, from, you know, more successful maybe perhaps in terms of how the organisation's moving forward, because I think there's an awful lot of great people involved in it. And I think, you know, our challenge for Irish sport is it's a lot more complex than people maybe realise, because, you know, we've so many people invested. And when people invested, maybe sometimes the sort of more kind of operational sides of the business, and, you know, the sort of things that need to be done in almost like without emotion, can be challenging to get right. And you have, you know, you have turnover, and that's one of the reasons it's right that I go, because it's important that we have succession and people aren't there forever either, because they need to bring young people in. So, you know, that's one of the beauties of being involved in Irish sport.
Are you interested in the FAI?
As I said, at the moment, my focus is completely here. Right. But I do love Irish football.
All right, Sarah Keane, President of the Olympic Federation of Ireland, thank you very much indeed for speaking with us today from Paris.